Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fire Engineering Talk Radio and tonight's installment of the Professional Volunteer Fire Department, the podcast dedicated to our great volunteer fire service and getting everybody to embrace the message that being considered a professional firefighter has nothing to do with earning a paycheck, and it has everything to do with delivering competent and compassionate service and taking care of not just our customers, but our own members as well. Tom Merrill here, glad to have you listening in. It's Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021, a very blustery and cold Tuesday evening in my area. The snow is coming down. I think we're in the mid-20s, which isn't actually that bad, but and I actually like it. I do like it. It doesn't bother me at all, and I hope wherever you are, if it's in the Northeast, you're doing okay, and if you're down in the warmth, I hope you're doing okay there, too. So wherever you're listening in, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And just a couple housekeeping items that I wanted to cover quickly before launching into the show. For those who don't know or aren't aware, FDIC, the Fire Department Instructors Conference, did move to August due to the pandemic, due to COVID. They moved it from April to August 19th through 24th. Yes, it is usually in April, but I think you'll agree that it's a very safe and prudent move, and hopefully we'll be well on our road to recovery by August. And, you know, COVID has taken a toll on all of us. It's affected operations and activities within our firehouses. It's even caused some financial hurt with so many volunteer departments having to cancel those very important fundraisers, right? The chicken barbecues, the pancake breakfasts, the field days, so many events having to be canceled, impacting a department's bottom line in a really bad way. It has been a rough year, but let's be optimistic that better days are ahead. And hey, I've been vaccinated. Both shots are on board. I received my second shot last Wednesday. And I got to tell you, I'm one of the lucky ones, I guess, because I had really, honestly, absolutely no side effects at all. I had no fevers. I had no chills. The creeping crud didn't come over my body. I had no nausea. My arm didn't even hurt, which surprised me because I've been reading about so many other people feeling sick for a day or so after, especially that second shot. And I really didn't have any issues. My wife got the second shot because she's a nurse. She really didn't have any issues. And I hope, if you haven't been vaccinated, I hope you are soon. And I hope you have no ill effects as well. But I'm done, and a lot of the brothers and sisters in my department and throughout my area are actually on the road to having their second shot or just got it done recently as well. And I hope that's how it is in your area. Let's get it done, folks. Let's be on our way back to some sense of normalcy and get our volunteer firehouses back open for the fun stuff that we do, that very important fun stuff. Heck, in 2 days, I was supposed to be getting on an airplane and heading down to Missouri for the Great Missouri Fire School to be presenting at their winter conference. And we're still going to have it. They're just doing it virtually, so I'll be joined with my class doing it online this coming Saturday. But nothing will be better than when we can all be back together again and enjoying conferences and the networking and all that great stuff that goes on at those conferences. Hopefully for sure at FDIC in August. And so thanks for joining me tonight. Speaking of the weather, as I said, very cold, very blustery. The Northeast got hit pretty good with a storm, and actually my area didn't get the storm too bad at all. We do have a little bit of snow, but nothing near what happened in the Long Island and New York and Boston and Connecticut area, and that forced me to call an audible for tonight's show. That's something you might have heard me talk about from time to time, right? You got to have a good solid playbook in place for our volunteer fire department operations on the firematic as well as the administrative side. But just like a good sports team too, right? A playbook where people know the plays and they rehearse the plays, and sometimes you got to change the play at the last second, and that's what happened tonight as my original guest had to bail out at the last minute due to the snowstorm that's battling his hometown. He's from the Long Island area, and the demands placed on him because his paid job is works at the Fire Communication Center. So we're going to be rescheduling with Chief Michael Capaziello, who was going to be on board with me tonight, and we had a show lined up concerning how important it is to have a good response in offering up ideas on how to improve a volunteer fire department's response. And we'll probably take that up with him on the next show. So looking forward to that. And I know Chief Capaziello was upset. He had to cancel, but it's totally understandable. And, hey, duty calls, right, folks, right? So the show must go on. And when I received the email from him, from the chief, that he wouldn't be able to call in tonight, I dug into my mailbox. I thought it would be a good idea to maybe discuss some questions or a question that gets emailed into me from a listener. You know, I often get questions from brothers and sisters who are out there looking for advice. Every now and then I'll get an email or a text, actually from all over the country, for people looking to discuss maybe some problems and challenges in their volunteer firehouse or ask me some questions, hoping I can help them out. And I'm always happy to help any way I can, any way I possibly can. I certainly don't proclaim to be an expert in anything at all, but I'm certainly willing to offer advice and suggestions and guidance to any brother or sister who reaches out to me and asks for it. And maybe I can do that. So, hey, speaking of brothers, when my brother Chief Tim Pillsworth heard my original guest had to cancel tonight, he offered to step in and help out if needed. And, of course, I jumped at that opportunity because I thought it would be great to have his take on the question we're going to be talking about tonight. So I am pleased to welcome back to the show Chief Tim Pillsworth, who is equally as passionate about our great volunteer fire service. Matter of fact, he was just on the show back in November talking about turnout gear. So it's great to have him back tonight. And certainly I want to thank him in a big way for reaching out and offering to step in when he heard I might not have a guest available for this evening. And he is just digging himself out of the storm as well. So, Chief, welcome to the show. Are you warm? Are you dry? Is your driveway plowed out? Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm warm and dry. I took a shower. I'm in the Orange County, which is about an hour north of New York City, and we got about 2 foot of snow, and it was one heck of a good storm. And my younger son is at home. I have a sophomore and a sophomore, so he was digging out. Then I got the knock on the door. The snowblower broke. So great neighbors. We finished up. We had an elderly neighbor. He dug out, and then a guy down the block. And unfortunately, when you gave me a call earlier, we were digging out one of our members from our firehouse. His wife passed away suddenly from a complication from a minor surgery. And both my boys worked for them for a couple of years, just doing lawn work, and went to help them dig out from all the snow. Then digging out our district pickup truck shows up with two guys in it, and we just kept digging and took care of his family. And it just kind of one of those things where you look at that, how important, you know, we all talk about the fire service and the brotherhood and all that. It reinforces how important it is to make sure you look out for the people in your station in their time of need. And let's put it this way, with this COVID mess, you know, our family's journey started on March 9th when our college student said, come pick me up. And it's you know, it's tough on kids. It's tough on adults. And one thing that I think we all need to look at is the people that are leading you, your chiefs, the presidents of your departments, your commissioners. They're always asking if you guys are okay. Make sure you ask them the amount of effort that has been going into keeping the doors, lack of a better term, open, responding to calls and keeping our station safe is one hell of an undertaking. And, you know, if you're not a leader, check on your leaders. Make sure they're doing okay, because they just might just want to have a blow and vent and just let them get it off their chest. And we still got a little ways to go, folks, but we're getting there. I get my second shot Friday. It was supposed to be Monday, but canceled for the storm, so not on Friday. So hopefully I'll be on my way of being good to go.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that's some good advice there about checking on the leaders, you know. And we're going to talk about some leadership things tonight, but, you know, a lot of times it's what the leader can do. But you know what? There's things the firefighters can do for the leader as well. And certainly very prudent that you said that there. So, Tim, real quick, you've been in the fire service for a long time. You date back to the mid-'80s as well. And where are you currently in the great town? Is it Washingtonville, if I remember correctly?
Yep, the village of Washingtonville. It's a nice little village. It's kind of it's a bedroom community. We support a lot of NYPD and FDNY guys. We got a bunch in our station. And we're not an overly busy department. We do not do EMS. We have a local EMS agency. So we do about 325 a year. We get our share of fire, mostly mutual aid. We're very respected in the area, so we get a bunch of calls. And moving a couple towns over to a different battalion from where I was chief, it's just nice being the dumb guy on the line, and I just do what's asked, and it's kind of nice.
That is kind of nice, absolutely. Nothing wrong with being a black hat and riding the back seat and following orders. We love doing it, and you should be proud because I know you served as chief in your other department, and nothing wrong with sometimes wearing that black helmet and just following the orders. So, hey, let's delve in a little bit into this question that got emailed to me. Again, for my listeners, I get questions, I get emails. If anyone wants to reach out to me, I'll give you my contact info at the end. But, this firefighter reached out to me. He's in the Midwest area of the country. I'm not going to give his department or anything because he didn't want me to. But it was just before Christmas I got this email and saved it for a future discussion because I'm actually thinking about, I talked about on my last show, I had Chief Rick Lasky on. And we went over another question that somebody had written in and asked me. And I thought, hey, that's kind of a nice feature. Maybe if I have time on my shows, I can, at the end of the show, bring up a question and give a few minutes of my thoughts and my guest's thoughts on answering the question. But with this last-minute change tonight, I thought we could spend some time talking about this question that was emailed in to me. So let's jump into it. And so I got the email just before Christmas. Dear Chief Merrill, I was recently elected as a new lieutenant in my volunteer department, and I assumed my new role as of the first of the year. While I'm excited to be a lieutenant, I'm really not sure what to do and how to grow as an officer. I know I need to take care of our tanker truck and maintain the SCBA, but other than that, I have been given very little guidance. Any advice you can provide would be greatly appreciated, as I do not want to fall flat on my face or embarrass myself or, God forbid, get anybody hurt or injured. And he signed it sincerely. His name is Jared, and I don't know if that's his real name or not, but that's what we'll call him. And he's from a Midwest department. So, Jared, thank you for writing in. I really appreciate it. The question, it's actually a pretty common question. This situation, I think, occurs in many departments. It's often congratulations, new lieutenant, or even congratulations, new board of director, right? And it's often they're thinking, okay, now what do I do? So it's important for the leaders and officers of today to recognize that they must stand ready to help develop these incoming officers, especially a brand new officer. Help them develop, provide them with some guidance, and even more importantly, establish expectations. What do you expect for them? What should they be doing? And provide them with any tips that might be necessary as how they can maybe better meet those expectations. So, Chief, what do you think we can tell this new lieutenant right off the bat about his new role? What can he do to get started in the right direction? Anything if someone was to knock on your door when you were chief and say, now what?
That's a perfect question, and I talk about it in some of my presentations where some of the first things to start as a lieutenant, you should be reporting to a captain. Go to the captain and ask him what your roles and duties are, duties and responsibilities. And it should also be in your SOGs. A lieutenant might be assigned a piece of apparatus or a special task. Find out where they are, read them. Understand them. If your department doesn't have SOGs that really spell out, hey, the lieutenant's jobs are this and captain, that would be something to make up, because one of the biggest things getting in is sometimes just reading what your duties are, you can actually figure out what your plan and how to make things work. Without any information, flying by the seat of your pants, what is that old adage, failing to plan is planning to fail. Well, your plan starts with knowing what it's expected of you. Might it be a weekly truck check, keeping that tanker or whatever device running one drill a month, because you want to rotate it through the officers. First of all, I'd recommend him going to the captain and getting your department's SOGs and see what your duties and responsibilities are. And then from there, you can actually start putting a plan, and also find that mentor, that person you can go to and say, hey, you've done this before. What worked? And also, what didn't work? and find that mentor and have that mentoring relationship really can do a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like what you said there, too, about, you know, if nothing's written down about maybe duties and responsibilities, there you go. There's something you can do right off the bat. Start writing it down as you learn what some of the jobs are that you're going to be responsible for. Write them down because then you can pass them on to the next new lieutenant. And this also applies to what you said about going to the captain. I'm thinking, you know what, you're right. And this applies on the administrative side as too. We might have some administrative officers listening in. I'm a new board of director. Well, go to the president. Go to a previous board of director. Go to a previous treasurer, a previous secretary, and find out some of the rules or some of the jobs that apply now that you should be taking care of. And start putting this down on paper so it you have a template, a playbook, really. You know, how can you call an audible like I had to tonight if you don't have a playbook to start with? So very good idea to start right off the bat. You know, go to that senior person, the captain or a mentor and or the president or whoever, depending on what side of the organization you're on, get some ideas on, hey, what's expected of me? And, okay, you're in charge of the tanker. Okay, Chief, what does that mean? What do you expect me to do on a weekly or monthly, however you're doing it, truck check? What goes into that? And start with that and then write it down, and you can pass it on to those coming behind you. Really, really good advice. And I think, Tim, one thing I tell my new officers is I wanted them to understand right off the bat that they play a huge role in the organization, no matter what title they have, no matter how new or even how tenured they are in their position. Officers truly set the tone for the department. When the officer shines, the department shines. They shape the image. They can even impact the department's reputation. I mean, think about it for 1 minute. If you're not training the members adequately, well, that surely will show at the emergency scene, won't it? Think that will impact your reputation? Think of it this way, too, folks. What if the department treasurer is not paying the bills, or the board of director is not filling out required paperwork or reports with the governing jurisdiction? How do you think your vendors are going to feel? How do you think the governing authority is going to feel if things aren't being done correctly? They're going to look at the department as maybe slightly dysfunctional, and they're going to think of the department as unprofessional. So I always like to get my new officers on board with that sentiment. Understand just what a dynamic role you play in impacting the reputation of the department and the morale and how everybody feels as well.
I agree 100%. And one thing that always helps, and I was teaching what you were teaching for the FASME, a year ago, before pre-COVID. And
yep.
When I got pulled aside in one of the counties down here, and three of their members, I won't mention the county because it's getting, unfortunately, gets news. They had a chief that was for more or less was removed from office. A lot of issues and a tremendous no criminal charges. But it sounds like it was awful close to issues at a criminal level. And they came in and they didn't have any good SOGs. They didn't have all these different things. And I looked at them, I'm like, I go, you've got some big problems. I go, in all reality, do you have a neighboring department that seems like they have their stuff together? And they're like, yeah, we run mutual aid with them. Great. If your chief screwed up, he was a very long tenured chief and was stuck in like 1962. I'm like, well, go to your neighboring department, ask them for a copy of their SOGs, and don't photocopy them. Take them and make them your own. And I go, if they're that good, they probably have a good set of rules to follow by. Take them and make them your own. Look online. Every department in New York State, I know, probably has an attorney on board just basically to the legalities of a state fire district. You can reach out to those guys, and they can a perfect example of when I was assistant chief, we completely changed our SOGs on sexual harassment. And we didn't know what to write. We went to our lawyer for our district, and he goes, here's one you can start with. And over the years, it modified and changed and gets updated. But the biggest thing is don't be afraid to go reach out and ask for help. asking for help is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. We've all been to that fire before where, you know, I need a couple more departments here to help, or it's not working and someone has that idea that might work. You know, don't be afraid to listen to that input in the ear, because sometimes someone's got a better way to skin the cat.
Take the good from the good. You know, just like we always say in leadership training, you know, we've all had good bosses, we've all had bad bosses. Take the good from the good and throw out the bad. And that can be a great place to start, too. Look at what other successful organizations are doing. And don't be afraid to emulate them. And I used to tell my officers, too, when they would walk in, I said, okay, you're a new officer. Guess what? You're a psychologist. You're a counselor. Sure, you're a commander in many cases. You're a motivator. And you know what? You might also be a babysitter, right? So there's a lot getting thrown at you. And remember, it's not all wearing the red helmet or the yellow helmet or whatever it is in your organization. It's not all about the portable radio and being able to order people around. There's a lot more that comes with it, and you got to get prepared for it. So keep an open mind and you know, watch what other successful officers and leaders have done, either in your own department or maybe in your place of employment or in other neighboring departments, as you said, Tim, and start taking after them, because that's a great place to start, because they've obviously had success. You know, we've all seen those chiefs and officers and presidents and commissioners that can really inspire and motivate and get their people to do great things. See what makes them, how they do that and what works for them, and strive to emulate it.
Yeah, and it's always tough. It's one of the most important things you mentioned. Your department is a direct reflection of your officers. It's one of the most important things is the membership giving support behind the officer too. You can't do it by yourself. You've worked from the boot lieutenant up to chief, and there was a lot of people helping along the way, because you just can't do everything, and that's important. And the idea of being mature enough to lead and not boss, everybody wants to be on the line. Everybody wants the nozzle. Everybody wants to operate the tool at the extrication call. There's times where that officer needs to be possibly on the nozzle due to manpower shortages, or it's just not going good, or the tool. One thing to remember, if you are a lieutenant, a captain, a chief, you should not be the one that's always stretching the line, operating the nozzle, operating the tool. And it does become a bit of a, not even a leadership thing, but to be honest with you, a maturity thing. Hey, I'm not the fireman anymore. I got to lead. And You see some of the, especially young officers, well, I'm still the fireman first. I go, you're right. I go, but you got to let the fireman be fireman first.
Right. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, sometimes these young officers, to their credit, are exceptionally gifted firefighters or exceptionally gifted EMTs or paramedics or rescue techs. That's why they got the elected to the officer position. People saw they had great skills and they were maybe the best, you know, like I said, the best nozzle firefighter in the department. This person's the best extrication person we got. They're just so talented, so we're going to elect them now as an officer. Or maybe, again, on the administrative side, because I always like to talk about the administrative side, too. It's often forgotten about in fire service leadership lectures. But the administrative side, maybe they serve in a bank. Maybe they're on a board somewhere. So you put them on your board of directors or make them your president. Well, here's my little tip. The skills or the traits that got you that promotion or got you the election, you won that election or you got the appointment, however you do it. There's a whole show right there, right? The Volunteer Fire Service election process for new officers. But however you got to the position, whether it was elected or whether it was appointed, those skills or traits that people saw in you and gave them the confidence to cast that vote for you, those are not the skills and traits that are going to make you successful as an officer. They don't automatically come with the promotion either. You have to work at it and learn to get better every single day. And sometimes it's easier in a paid department because they can send their firefighter or new officers to training classes as part of their job. A little harder in the volunteer fire service with everything else going on. Oh, yeah, you work a regular job. You've got kids. You're coaching Little League. You're in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, whatever the case may be. Now, in addition to all your other training, you got to take some officer and leadership training because you should want to get better. Just remember, those skills and traits that got you to that position are not the skills and traits that are going to sustain you in that position. You got to work every day to get better, and it starts the minute you set foot in the office. So, new lieutenant that wrote me the email, start learning about people and how you can work with your people.
There's also a lot of good leadership books. And what's amazing is you talk about leadership, and we've talked about it numerous times of being a student of the fire service. And one thing I've been trying to do, and has a lot to do with more of, I think a lot to do with COVID in some ways. I don't know about you and your family, but I've always was so busy between the fire department and, you know, being an officer, being or doing projects when I'm not an officer, being a scoutmaster, youth lacrosse, and with COVID, everything stopped. There wasn't even stuff on TV to watch. So everyone gets sucked into this little portable device that is now our brain called your smartphone. You know, and you get stuck watching YouTube videos on whatever, and, oh, that's a cool job, and look at a fire and like that. And the big joke is fire porn. But try to put down that device and pick up a book, pick up a magazine. Read Fire Engineering, and there's articles that have you'll never go on a subway rescue, probably. Well, you never know. Weird things have happened to people while they're on vacation. We were in the Florida Keys over Christmas, and I'm sitting there talking to my wife. My boys are walking around, and you hear a scream and a splash and a splash. We're in Key West waiting for the sunset. I recommend it highly. And a lady fell in the water and a guy jumping after her. I'm a water rescue guy. My son's a lifeguard. It was about 10 seconds from jumping in, but we had to run all the way around a pier, break through a fence to get to a pylon to get him out. And my boys, being Boy Scouts, knew exactly what I needed them to do, and I told them, and they did it. You can be, as a fireman, anywhere, called to do something. And the duty to act does not stop if you're on vacation. And it's so important to learn about as much as you can to know what your capabilities are, and more importantly, what your capabilities are not.
Right. Oh, so true. And, you know, there's that old adage about leaders are readers. So, you know, I'll ask the listeners right now, be honest with yourselves. What are you doing right now to better yourself as a firefighter and now as an officer? Is there something that you can look at that you are in the middle of reading? Whether it's Fire Engineering, Firehouse Magazine, any of the books that are out there. And as Chief Pillsworth pointed out, there's so many leadership books out there, and they're not all fire service leadership books, although there's certainly plenty of great ones from Step Up. I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, you know, Step Up and Lead by, you know, Chief Escutcheon, Five Alarm Leadership, Chief Salka and Lasky, among so many others that are sitting on my bookshelf. But leadership books by politicians, leadership book by business people, military leaders. You need to understand that, yes, you got elected to this position as an officer, but all the answers don't come with that. You need to strive to see what has worked for others that have been there and motivated people and worked with people and overcame problems and led them to inspiring and motivating their team. And I got to be honest, it doesn't come naturally for a lot of people. It takes work. And you got to put the time and effort into that work, because you need those positive results to motivate your volunteers. And you're dealing with volunteers, right, Chief? I mean, if they're not happy and you're not motivating and leading them, what are they going to do? They're going to stay home. And what can you do about that? You can't fire them.
Well, actually, what's kind of funny is you can fire firefighters. It's what's amazing is you're only a volunteer until you sign it. And I don't know if you ever had the the completely displeasure of having to remove an officer from office, I had to. And it was nothing I really liked doing. I'm not that type of person. But one of the scariest things is people, oh, you can't fire me. If you have good SOGs in the department, and I would never want to get rid of any volunteer, what's scary is, what people don't understand is you can be removed, suspended, removed from the department for issues. And it's becoming a little bit more prevalent now, and I hope it doesn't continue with, like, that cancel culture. Some of the biggest concerns we have now are people being dumb with social media. You got to be very careful. Your department should have a good policy. Your department's Facebook or Twitter pages or whatever should be managed only by a couple people and very well controlled. But then if you're outside in the public, you mentioned this with whatever shirt you're wearing your department's colors, you know, on the T-shirt, the sweatshirt, the baseball hat, and you're at a bar with your buddies. If you start acting like a total jerk, you know, a drunken, obnoxious idiot, department's going to look bad. So as a leader, you know, if you want to go out with a night on the town with your buddies, which there's nothing wrong with, make sure you have a designated driver or whatever, you know, be the leader out of the department. Hey, guys, you know, we really shouldn't be wearing our fire department's T-shirts. You know, we're going to this bar, and we know it's going to get – we're going to be drinking heavily and partying. We have a ride home. Maybe you don't want the public to see you like that. That's leadership outside the station. Checking on the old time, the older members where you're digging out from the big storm. Well, grab a shovel, grab a couple young guys and make sure they're dug out. We were having guys drop food off to the older members so they wouldn't have to worry about it with COVID at the beginning. That stuff leaders do. And sometimes it's the unrelated firematic stuff that gets you to the next level very smoothly, and that's very important.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so you brought up social media, which kind of ties in with the reading thing, because I understand that the newer generations, you know, they maybe are more inclined to get information via social media. I get it. There's a lot of good stuff out there. So if you're not reading Fire Engineering Magazine, the hard copy like us old timers do, maybe you're reading it online. I get that. But here's something that I would like to say to all firefighters, officers, paid firefighters, volunteer firefighters. I don't understand why we have to take to the keyboard and attack each other. So new lieutenant in your Midwest Volunteer Fire Department, if you see this being done, lead by example and stop it and prevent it and don't partake in it. Why we celebrate this brotherhood and sisterhood in our great fire service, but think nothing about attacking our brothers and sisters if they've had a bad day at the office, if things didn't go so well, or even if they're proud of a new truck they got, even if there's things you see that you don't like, why do you have to take to the keyboard and blindside them with, I don't like how high the compartments are. I don't like where the hose is. That's stupid. We had this truck once. It didn't work out. Why do we do that? The world is nasty enough. Let's not have that nastiness spill over into our great fire service. Not that things can't be learned from mistakes our brothers and sisters make. Sure, watch the videos of the fires that maybe didn't go right. Look at the new delivery a department got down the road and talk about what you would do different in your department among yourselves. Don't take to the keyboard and blast the brothers and sisters via social media. Simply don't be a troll. And if it's being done, stop it and don't participate in it. That's something you can do on day one as an officer in your department.
And I think that's very important. Like as the plan B that you pulled out tonight is if you really – I have no problem training in bad weather. It does get to a point sometimes where the weather is so bad that you really can't safely train in it. Our department meeting, our company meeting got canceled tonight between the storm standbys and everything else. We're just like, there was just the motion, make sure we pay the standard bills, and it was agreed upon. But, you know, you have two foot of fresh snow on the ground. Maybe it's not going to be the ladder drill at the training building. We've been doing a lot over different times and even throw them together, throw our YouTube videos up on the big screen TV and talk stuff over. And the one thing that's always mentioned that I always like to talk about is, oh, look at those guys. Boy, they really had a bad call there. Well, what's amazing is unless you're at the call and see it, smell it, taste it, you really can't tell what's going on. Not even a volunteer department. Any department will show up with the A team, or sometimes you show up at some place around Q. We've all been to the call. I had a place that was always automatic alarms, and we had a dumpster fire in the back and extended into a huge warehouse. Well, it wasn't the A team that showed up to the automatic alarm, and I banged a second on it. And it was no disrespect to the guys on the rig, but it wasn't the rock stars. Paid in career, volunteer combination, there are great firemen, and there's some that maybe aren't so good. So if you're looking at those videos, never bash anybody, especially never bash anybody publicly, because guess what? At some point in time, you are going to screw up. You're not going to have your helmet on right or the chin strap or forget a glove or your department's going to have that. Well, that call didn't go so well. You want everyone bashing you?
Right. Yeah, it's just not – I'm just seeing too much of it. I mean, obviously we're seeing so much of it just in the general world, but it's really spilling over into our fire service, and it's disheartening. And, you know, gather your firefighters together in the building, show them the video and learn from it, but don't get on there and start attacking each other. It doesn't do anybody any good. So another thing I wanted to tell this new lieutenant. So as I mentioned just a bit ago, you know, we talked about how you got an appointment or an election because you really showed some great skills. You show that you're going to be a good officer because you've become a good member of your department and you've trained hard and you're a great firefighter. But remember now, those strengths are exposed to a much larger group because now maybe you're conducting drills or, as the new president, you're conducting the monthly business meeting. So your strengths are exposed now to a larger group, but so are your weaknesses. And you're going to be watched and you're going to be judged with everything that you do as an officer. And you got to accept that. You probably did it yourself. And now that you're an officer, you need to understand it's more of what you do than what you say. So you need to do more and say less and start developing a positive officer reputation. And one way to do that, new lieutenant, is to strive for your members' respect and not worry about popularity. Earn the respect by leading by example, doing your job with positive energy and a positive attitude. Train, treat people respectfully, be visible. You know, don't worry about popularity. And the best way to do it, I found it's so much easier to gain credibility and earn respect by doing the day-to-day jobs that are expected of you in your office. Matter of fact, you got a better chance of earning respect doing that than fighting the big fire or leading the big contentious meeting because they don't happen all that often and you may not even be around for that big fire. So earn your respect by doing the jobs that are delegated to you, no matter how mundane they might be. Tim, I'm sure you can think of some jobs you've done over the years as an officer that, you know, they're not manning the hand line at the big fire, right? But they're still important to the success of your organization.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the smallest things that you do that people don't realize. Everyone knows we have to get our cylinders hydroed every 3 years. And you go up that stupid serial number and, okay, Tom, we're in the 50s. There's no way I can read it. But way back when, we're looking at it, and we bought all new SCBAs in my old department, retrofitted to 4500s, and we basically got reflective stick-on letters and numbers, one up to, I can't remember how many cylinders we had, and it was a spreadsheet. And then in the spreadsheet had the cylinder number with the serial number, and the hydro date due. So we can look at an Excel spreadsheet in minutes. Okay, find cylinders 12, 14, and 72. They need to get it taken out of service for hydro. And instead of trying to find that damn little serial number easy, and to this day they still do it. And what was so simple about it, it was easy notification. You're at a larger event, larger alarm. Where's your cylinders? They're the ones with the reflective WLEC on them. And it's kind of these crazy little things that might you may or may not do that you might not even get credit for sometimes. But what it does do, you realize how good your department, it just saves time. Think about ways to be more efficient. As a volunteer department, you know, we don't get paid. We all got these jobs. We have families. Many of us have kids. And that's the most important part. And they're along the journey with us. So if you can reduce the mundane task time, you can either train more or you can spend more time with your family, which is more important, which is just, you know, you got to be there for them. You can't, everyone's heard the term firehouse widow. And it's something that we all have to be very careful about.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've all fallen into that trap. And that would get me into another skill set that a new officer can work on, and that's time management. You got to come up with a system that works for you. There's all these little jobs that need to be done, and important for the overall success of the organization. You've got to get those bottles hydrated on a regular basis. You know, on the treasurer side, there's bills to be paid. On the secretary side, there's minutes to be made to be typed up. Maybe there's correspondence that needs to go out to tell the new member to be at his orientation or her orientation on a certain date. Whatever it is, there's jobs that got to be done. You volunteered to join that volunteer fire department. No one forced you. You probably volunteered to be an officer. I'm thinking nobody forced you to do that. So by volunteering, you're saying you're going to make the time to get these jobs done. Now, again, being volunteer, your paid job comes first. Your family comes first. There's no doubt about it. But as a person of integrity, you're saying to your organization, I'm going to make the time to get done what I need to get done. And you're going to come up with a system that works. I worked it out with my wife. It was our training night, which is Wednesday nights. I've said this before on the show. Most of the time back in the day, Wednesday nights, no ifs, ands, or buts. I was at the firehouse. Sometimes I was in the truck bay, sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning with one of my captains, who's a great friend of mine, working on fire department stuff. I would come home, and my wife the next day would be like, you are crazy. But that was the night I got my work done. Whatever little jobs it was that I was expected to do, no matter how mundane I thought they were. I was in charge of our hazmat supplies, which we use maybe once a year. I thought it was, oh, this isn't fun, but it was still important, because when we did have that gasoline spill or any other hazmat incident, that equipment better be in working order and ready to go. And I didn't just do it once and then forget about it. These jobs often have to be done over and over again. So as a committed officer, as a dedicated officer, as an officer showing the other department members that you're passionate and care about your job, you got to do the job, no matter how mundane it may be. Whatever jobs are delegated to you, do your best at them and do that job over and over again. It's not a one and done. Sometimes you jump in, right, Tim, with great energy. Oh, I love being an officer. And after 2 or 3 months of doing even SCBA checks, which can be very mundane, are they important? Absolutely. But does an officer maybe like doing them every week or every month? Probably not. And what happens after that first couple of months of the honeymoon period wearing off? They start taking shortcuts. Or maybe the monthly SCBA check becomes every 3 months or every 6 months, or it doesn't get done at all. Then we got a problem.
And that's where it's. You talked about the scheduling. I talk about that a lot in my presentation. You schedule for assistance, where, especially as a new lieutenant, you probably have weekly truck checks. One thing I started doing, much what you did on Wednesday nights, I would do everything on the same night of the week for the most part, and then everyone would have the firehouse rats, the guys that just they're younger and they're always there. Well, ask them for help. Ask them to help do your truck check. Don't have them do it for you, but ask for that assistance. And what's great with that is, as a young officer, if you have somebody helping out with a truck check, you're saving time. you're improving your skills as a leader because you're leading them through a task, and you're also teaching them how to do something. So you're setting up the next generation to take care of truck checks. And what's great is everyone's going to go on some sort of vacation, be it family vacation, if you're younger, a fishing or a hunting trip, or going away hiking with your buddies. And the chiefs could be, or the captains, who's doing their truck check this week? Well, I've had these three guys, we've been doing truck checks together for the better part of 6 months. They can take care of it. They got it. Well, guess what? Those guys are going to be the next lieutenants coming up as everyone starts moving up the chain. So you're basically building and grooming your replacement, which is one of your jobs, but then also you're becoming a better leader because you're passing down that knowledge, and that's the most important thing. And then that perfect example that you got that email, well, I'm kind of not sure what to do. Well, in some ways, that young officer has been failed by the people that led him before. They should have been teaching him how to be an officer before. I should know how to do a truck check. This shouldn't be – I'm organizing it now, but I know where everything is and how to do it. Planning a drill. If you have a little hard time planning a drill, write it down on a piece of paper. Write up a plan with, what I want to do. What are my objectives? Well, hose lines. Well, you can either do you want to stretch or you want to flow water. You kind of do one or the other. If I'm just going to do hose line stretches, make sure your hose packs are correct to your department's plans and stretch them. Put them back. Stretch them. Put them back. Get a bunch of evolutions. Then the next drill, hey, guys, we're going to stretch and then we're going to do some movement while flowing water. And that's a whole different drill. Ladders. Well, you're going to use ground ladders or your aerial device if you have one. Basically, yeah. Stick with one or two small skills, and how do you train on that? And there's your objective. And mention to the guys, tonight we're stretching lines, guys. We want to make sure we can get it where we know when it's charged, it's not going to be kinked. We get the nozzle. We estimate our lengths. Let's get better at this. And there's your objective. There's your drill.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, to understand, and again, something else I'd like to point out to the new officer is get involved in drills. Work with, hopefully, this is where mentoring comes in. There's a senior member or a senior officer, a captain that can show how to put a drill together. I used to like to pair up lieutenants with captains, thinking the captains had some experience at putting drills together, and they could pass that experience on to lieutenants, and they could work on a drill together. And then someday, if that lieutenant became a captain, he could pass that information on to the new lieutenants. But running drills is so important, especially obviously on the line officer position. And if you're going to be a line officer, you need to get comfortable presenting drills. Some people are very comfortable doing hands-on. Some people are more comfortable standing in front of a group. But you really need to have a mix of that. You've got to be comfortable learning to stand up in front of your people and instruct them on whatever the drill topic is that night. And here's something else that I'd like to pass on to the new lieutenant is start thinking of drills you can do, and they don't have to be done next week. They don't have to be done next month. There's nothing wrong for, hey, I have a drill idea that I'm putting together. Give me till May or give me till June. Have it ready to go then. But start coming up with some drill and training ideas and then run it by some of the senior members or senior officers and get their input on it and see what they think about your idea and then go for it. Nothing builds credibility more than having an officer put together a well-designed drill that gets people involved and they lead and instruct with a great deal of passion.
Yeah, and it's the biggest thing with drills, the one thing you always want to see is, besides just learning and teaching and doing the drills, one thing I always recommend, if you are not teaching that drill, if you're just basically a participant, you should be a firefighter there. You should be going through those evolutions. If you're doing a drill, for example, on SCBA Mass Confidence, well, instead of just standing there with your pants on, walking around with a radio, you know, get the guys going. Okay, the guys are going. We got enough officers here. I'm going to jump in line and do it myself. Just as much as the firefighter skills need to be fine-tune, you'll need to keep your skills. And the only way to keep your skills is to do them. The guys watch that young lieutenant. Okay, everything's going. What are you doing? I'm doing it now. I'm going to do my low profile, my quick release. I'm going to go through all my emergency procedures. So God forbid if something happens, you want to know something? I know I'm proficient. And that's so
right.
Important.
Yeah, leading by example right there. I used to tell my officers, if you're not one of the drill instructors, then you're a student tonight. And what does that mean? That means if possible, you still need to come to drill on that evening or morning. And you don't get a pass if you're not teaching it or participating as an instructor. We'd like you to actually be a student tonight and go through the evolutions. And that's leading by example and showing the others in the group that you're willing to do what you're asking them to do. So very important, very important. And, you know, I wanted to quickly go back to those small mundane tasks because it made me think of, you know, I've been a fire commissioner now for going on my 6th year. And just like officers, we have tasks that we're responsible for. And when I first became a fire commissioner, they gave me a job that I knew nothing about called fixed assets. And it's basically keeping track of inventory and building building inventory and when new things come in, making sure it's accounted for, and when old things get shipped out, making sure we put it on the list as discarded. And it's a very formal process that I knew nothing about. And there may be jobs like that that are delegated to you that you know nothing about. So you know what I did? I went to the senior commissioners and said, what do I do? What am I responsible for? And now I wrote it down, so someday I'll pass it on to the next commissioner who comes in as in charge of fixed assets. And it's such a little mundane thing, but as I look on my bookshelf, I see a book by Colin Powell, one of my heroes, wrote many great leadership books, and one quote that comes to mind: if you're going to achieve excellence in the big things, you develop the habit in little matters. And there's so many little matters in our volunteer firehouse, right? So many little things that need to be done. But if those small tasks aren't getting done, let's say it's putting reports in the clipboard, right? Somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to be in charge of filling the speedy dry hopper, right? If those little things aren't being done, it can lead to big problems because little things being done, okay, they might have little consequences, but big things not getting done have large consequences. And now the pack checks aren't being done, and somebody gets in trouble at a fire because they run out of air. Or vendors aren't being paid, right? Your treasurer's not paying vendors. Yeah, the department takes a hit. You got creditors calling you now, or the reputation in small towns. Your reputation really suffers when vendors start talking about the fire department not paying their bills. Or, you know, the officer didn't take seriously making sure that the booster tank was full, and they get a car fire, and now they have no water or limited water to fight that car fire, and they got to go searching for a hydrant or another water source. You get the idea, right? If you're going to achieve excellence in the big things, you develop the habit in the little matters. And as a brand new officer, there's a lot of little things you can be doing day in and day out to build your reputation and also contribute to your fire department's success. And no job, whatever, whether it's fixed assets or whatever the case is, no job is beneath you.
And that's also for the time to work. Everyone's been back after the crappy call, and especially this time of year, our rigs get disgusting. And hopefully, it's you make the call and get back to the station. Okay, do we wash it or do we wait? Because everyone's washed the rig and it all freezes up. But if someone breaks out the wash buckets and you have five of them, as an officer, I would take one and hand out four. And then have someone come and take it out of my hand. We had a fire last Thursday, and we're just packing up afterwards. It was one of those freaky things. The pager didn't go off correctly for me, and I went downstairs to look at my phone. I'm like, holy crap, it's a structure fire. Ran back upstairs, and, so I actually went out on the tanker, and I got there. I walked up with two interior guys from the chief. I go, what do you need? Go inside. I'm like, and find something. I'm like, okay. And we went to work, and it was a chimney fire that extended to multiple floors in the house. And afterwards, we're packing the lines, and the youngest lieutenant is, what are you doing? I'm packing hose. And he goes, why? You're the senior man. I go, I want to pack this hose because if we get this hose packed, we all get home. And I go, it doesn't matter that I'm senior man who's riding acting officer on the tanker. You should be willing to do any job needed. No one likes packing up. Okay, I'm kind of funny. I like packing hose, standing in the line and pulling it up and busting on each other and talking about the call. And I've always found that to be one of the neatest things to do is put everything back in service where everyone's on the line, just pulling a little bit and no one's working hard. And it just brings everybody together. And it's such an important thing. And the idea, if you're that young officer, don't be afraid to get on that line to repack the hose. Don't be afraid to help throw the ladder back in the torque box of the ladder truck. Don't be afraid to wash the tools when you get back. Lead by example. Have that more senior fireman say, Lou, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that also another good term for that is having ownership in whatever it is you're working with. You know, that ownership mentality is huge. You know, as an officer, you own everything. You know, it's a huge attribute, ownership is, of the respected and successful officer or even a senior member. You know, ownership is holding yourself accountable. And how can you hold others accountable if you're not holding yourself accountable? So it's being aware of things that need to be done. It's ownership for your jobs, your responsibilities. I tell the story in my class. It's a hand sanitizer story. So, you know, we get back from a run. I was driving our small rescue vehicle. We get back from a run, and the firefighter in the back seat says, "Hey, there's an empty canister of hand sanitizer rolling around the back seat here." And I was like, oh, okay, that just means that at a call previous, they ran out of this hand sanitizer. Somebody set it in the back seat as a reminder that when we get back to the firehouse, we got to refill this canister or replace it. Well, that didn't happen, and it sat back there rolling around. So we had a failure of ownership, A, by the firefighter who originally noticed that we were out but chose not to refill it. And we had a failure of ownership from our EMS officers because we found out that that canister had been empty for about a week. And we had numerous calls where people rode in the back of that squad and just decided not to do anything. So we had failure of ownership by the firefighters that saw it before and didn't act on it. We had a failure of ownership by the officers who maybe should be doing truck chucks on a regular basis. And we also had a failure of ownership by the firefighter who reported it to me. I was driving the squad, got out of the vehicle, finished doing the report, and assumed that that firefighter who reported it, hey, we got a thing rolling around back here, and we said, me and the officer up front said, hey, yeah, that means it needs to be refilled, but we went and did the fire report after the call, and later on found that that canister was still sitting in the squad because the firefighter that noticed it, what did he do? He left the firehouse. So we had a failure of ownership all around, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, as an officer, you have a higher degree of ownership. It means you rinsed off tarps after a fire. You got to own that tarp and know that in another day when it's dry, you got to go back to the firehouse and put it back on the rig. Ownership note means you were working yesterday and you missed the fire. Okay. That means you got to get to the firehouse because you know there was a fire. You know your truck was there. You got to do your truck check after that fire. Understand you weren't there. Or understand maybe you were out with the family. That's all absolutely understandable. But ownership means you're going to take the time to get down there and make sure that truck is back put together the way it's supposed to be. Ownership is the huge attribute of any successful officer.
Yeah, and especially when you're starting out, it's kind of, there's the ownership, especially as a new lieutenant, you can own so much that if you're assigned a vehicle, whatever it might be, you're responsible for it. Well, take pride in it. You want that truck the cleanest, most up, the fuel and the tools all set, the hose packed so it deploys perfectly, everything's set, the lanyards on the ladders. Make sure that rig is right because then you're the ownership of that. And you come back and saying, my rig is good, and I know my rig is ready for anything it's going to call to. So, like those responsibilities that we talked about at the beginning, you know, find out what the SOGs for your position are, and then you own them. Make sure they're right. You're going to be basically looked at by the duties assigned to you. And if you want to say as a brand new lieutenant, well, I want to go buy a brand new fill in the blank. Well, if that's not at your level of authority, you're not going to be graded on that. You're not going to be pass or fail. If your duties are to take care of that rig, you can do everything else perfect, but if you don't take care of that rig, you failed as an officer. What are your duties assigned to you? And you take ownership of it. You know, if even that, step in to help the guy next to you. If you're at the firehouse and you see something on a rig that's maybe not assigned to you, the hand sanitizer, well, fill it up. Everyone's had a brain fart and remember, oh, I got to do this when I get back to the station. Well, hey, I got to leave. Can you take care of that? And it just gets lost in translation. And that's important.
Yeah. Are you there, Tim? I know your phone just broke up a little bit. I heard you cut in and out. Are you with us?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm sorry. Must have.
No, that's okay. No, just cut out.
My cat is sitting on my lap. And, yeah. But the biggest thing is taking that ownership. And the idea of the one thing I've always thought of, I don't know about your thought when you were chief or talking about a brand new lieutenant, is, you know, when the alarm was done, I'd always go back to the station with very few exceptions. A lot of times, hey, chief, I'll get you in the book. You want to know something? Sometimes rank has its privilege. Yeah, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, smells and bells. Maybe I'll go home. Well, maybe those are the ones that you should head back to the station, even if you're there for 30 seconds out of your chief truck, because it shows, you know, hey, you guys have to go back to the station, get out of your gear and go home. I can spend that extra 5 minutes going back to the station before I go home. You know, do the same things you expect your members to do. We've all seen the guy, the officer, book out after every single call. I mean, everyone has to leave once in a while, let's be honest. Or after the drill, instead of doing the final cleanup or maybe grabbing that bag of garbage. Don't be that guy. Be the one that's there side by side with the members, and then you will get the respect.
Right. Yeah, I used to tell people, get in the habit of checking in. You know, even if you've been busy with your paid job or busy, you know, maybe your kids are on a travel sports team or you're camping with Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, whatever, get in the habit of checking in and being visible. You know, stop in the club room, the day room, workout room, whatever, and talk to the members. And, hey, how you doing? What's new? How's the job? How's the family? Listen to what they're talking about. Support them. And because when you stop in and you're tuning into your organization and you want to be in tune with what's going on. People don't like it when officers say, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. I wasn't aware of that. And there may be a very good reason that you don't know that, but people don't like to hear it from their officers and leaders in the organization. So be in tune with what's going on. And as Tim just said, stop in. Yeah, you could easily, as the chief, just turn around and go home. But maybe now and then, stop in at that 3 a.m. call and make sure the rig's rinsed off or rinse it off with the guys and girls or help finish the report or whatever the case may be. And listen to what they're talking about and support them and ask questions. How are things going? What do you think of the progress we're making? Any ideas that you have and what's holding you back? You know, there's so much you can learn by tuning in and being in touch with your members in the organization.
Yeah, especially as a new lieutenant, you'll find finding that mentor, someone, you know, I talk about mentors and confidants, and they're kind of two different things. The mentor can actually help teach you the ropes, where that confidant is that person where, you know, you're going to go talk to, you know, hey, it's almost like your priest, mistress, and best friend all in one, where they know all your secrets, all your fears, all your concerns. And they're going to give you an honest answer. It's kind of like the president's most trusted advisor. You know, you probably had your years as a chief officer and working your way up, and as I did. And sometimes you would talk to him about something, and you're like, you know, that's a really dumbass idea. And you look at him, and you're like, really? But then they're strong enough to give you that, and you're like, okay, maybe that is a dumb idea. But you know, as a young leader, find out who those guys are, but also be very careful. You can't just go act, you know, there's departments that have mentors, and I wrote an article on it. Some are preset with programs, and some are more like that kind of happen organically. And sometimes the organically ones are more important where if you're in the back of the rig or you're around the firehouse, there's somebody that can always teach you something and be that sponge and learn.
Right.
And the confidant,
right.
The one thing to remember is it's kind of like a courtship. My wife knows everything with exception when I need to lie to her about a special or a gift or something for that, you know, like getting engaged years ago. Your confidant, the first date with your significant other, they didn't know everything about you. Now that, you know, over time they do. And the biggest thing that's concerning if you are a young officer is falling into almost maybe being gullible, where someone's like, oh, yeah, I'll help you. But then behind your back, they do the opposite. Always be careful of that because that does happen. There is some people that do not have scruples in this world. And if you ever run into them, it's very upsetting. And it's one of those things you realize you need to be a better person and you just don't trust that person again. But always be careful, especially a new officer. There might be somebody there who's willing to offer you the world to help you. Well, sometimes you might want to make sure you're careful around the people that offer too much. Just be very cognizant of the people around you. And remember, the fire service, as important as it is a social organization, and people like to gossip and talk behind your back. So just be careful who you speak about when you have concerns. It's because sometimes you could say the right thing to the wrong person, and it comes back to bite you in the rear end.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have learned from that over the years, that's for sure. And, Chief, we've been going for about an hour now, and there's two other things that I can offer this new lieutenant. And I'll give you a chance to see if there's anything you want to add. But number one is lead by your passionate example, because to reach your full potential as an officer, you really got to display passion. You should love the work, no matter how mundane it might seem to you, whether it is fixed assets that you're in charge of or the speedy dry hopper, whatever it is. Love the work that's delegated to you. Love being an officer because your passion and enthusiasm are contagious and they can inspire people to do great things. And just the same, lack of passion, lack of enthusiasm is just as contagious. And I heard a quote once, I don't know who said it, I wrote it down and I'll never forget it, and I absolutely believe this. A leader and an officer with great passion and limited skills will always outperform a leader and officer with great skills and no passion at all. And I think that is so true. So have passion for the job. Have passion for the job as an officer and have passion for being a firefighter. That's my second last piece of advice. And then my last piece of advice is simply treat people nicely. Give respect to all. Our organizations are filled with all different ages, all different learning curves, right? All different personalities. We need to treat people with respect because what do they always say? If you want respect, give respect. And no officer wins the loyalty of the troops by preaching loyalty. They win the loyalty of the troops by being loyal to them. And that is my other piece of advice. And I hope some of these words of wisdom, I hope that young lieutenant's listening in tonight, Tim. But I wanted to go about an hour. We're just about there now. And any other words of wisdom you'd like to provide this young lieutenant or new officers anywhere?
Things. You mentioned it, never stop learning. We go to FDIC and we're lucky enough to present. But I'll go into other people's presentations and classes, and I'm always learning something. Read books, read magazines, periodicals. And also, enjoy the journey and say thank you. If you have those three firehouse rats that are helping with your truck check every week, you know, at the monthly meeting, call them out. Hey, you know, these three guys have been helping me with truck checks on Wednesday nights. You know, it's really great. And, you know, thank you very much. Some people don't like to be praised in public very much. You don't have to make a big deal about it, but a simple thank you at the end of a drill or a meeting, that will get you more support where it's like it's appreciated. And take care of those people, because in the end they'll take care of you, and you can basically help each other out. And make a plan. Write it down on a piece of paper and follow through. And don't be afraid to make mistakes, because it's going to happen.
Absolutely. We've all made our share and probably still do. And but you can always get better. You can always improve. And I congratulate that young gentleman for stepping into the lieutenant ranks. And I hope it's the beginning of a great journey through the officer ranks, as I know you and I both experienced, Chief.
Yeah, it's a long journey too, and the best thing to do is enjoy it. Take time, schedule time for your family, and just biggest thing is look out for the people that you lead. It's your job to get them home safely from each and every alarm, and that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you're the best you can be.
Absolutely. So as we wrap things up here again, that's another great point. Please remember, officers everywhere, you know, you set the tone. You really do set the tone. And when you shine, your department shines. And remember, being a good officer, being a good leader, involves much more than leading that crew down a dark, smoky hallway or leading the company meeting. Because at any time, as I said, you can be a psychologist, you can be a counselor, you can be a motivator. You can be their commander. You can also be their babysitter when you get the knock on the door that someone called you a nasty name. Keep in mind, those skills and traits that serve to get you elected, that serve to get you appointed as an officer, are not the skills and traits that are going to sustain you and make you successful. They don't come automatically with the election, with the appointment. You know, those strengths are exposed to a much larger group, those strengths that got you that election. But so are your weaknesses. You're going to be watched. You're going to be judged. Accept that fact. Strive to earn your members' respect. Don't worry about popularity. You can start getting that respect by learning to understand what it is that's expected of you in your new role, by going to those that served in those positions before, by going to the chief, going to the president, going to the former chairman of the board of directors, because it's easier to gain credibility and earn respect by doing all those little jobs that are going to be delegated to you on a day-in and day-out basis. It's going to be much easier to do it that way than it will be leading the big monthly business meeting or the big fire incident that you probably might not be in charge of anyway. So do those little jobs and have passion for those little jobs. And remember, if you're going to achieve excellence in those big things, you're going to start developing that habit in the little matters. So embrace those little jobs, and no job is beneath you at all. And be visible. Be out front where people can see you. Get in the habit of checking in, asking questions, respecting your members. And even if you've been busy at work, signs that you've done your job are there. Supplies are stocked up. The bills are paid. The minutes are ready. Your apparatus is in tip-top shape. As an officer, there's always something to be done. Remember that. There's very little downtime. Embrace the ownership mentality. You walk into the firehouse and that tarp is hanging from the mezzanine and it's been there for a week. Oh, yeah, we had that fire last week. It got wet. I better own that tarp and put it away. Or that hand sanitizer that rolled around the back of our rescue squad for a week. Ownership means you identify that needs to be replaced and take care of it. And have passion for this great job of being a fire officer and being a firefighter. Because leaders and officers with great passion will always outperform leaders that have great skills and no passion. So always get better. Get online, read the online articles, subscribe to the publications, be reading to make yourself better, because leaders are readers. Don't be a troll and beat up the brothers and sisters online. That goes against everything that the professionalism defines. And lastly, be nice, treat people with respect, say thank you, and that'll get you on a good journey through the lieutenant ranks and beyond. And Tim, Chief, thank you for being with us tonight, man. I really appreciate you stepping in when I had to call the audible.
Hey, no problem. It was I was just literally, this is where the online stuff is good, and I was taking a break from working from my kitchen table, and I saw that. I'm like, well, see if Tom needs help, because if the shoe was on the other foot, you'd be doing the exact same thing. So anytime you need anything, please reach out. You've got my support anytime you need it.
I appreciate that, brother, and I know you do a lot of training. You do a lot of great officer development training yourself and a lot of good presentations. I've sat in on them. Why don't you give the listeners your contact info in case anyone would want to reach out to you?
Sure. If you Google it, what's nice is I've got an unusual last name. It's Pillsworth. It's just the way it sounds, P-I-L-L-S-W-O-R-T-H. And if you Google that, you can find the articles through Fire Engineering. And like Tom, I think we kind of joke about who's got more. And you beat me, but it's amazing how many we have out there. And my email is, we're all going to laugh at this a little bit, Tom, the same way. I've had the same email since the 90s. It's tpp59@aol.com. I've never gotten rid of it. And what's also, I know with the same thing with Tom, the first time I reached out to Tom was through Fire Engineering. And Bobby and Diane, they're great. If you have a question, you just can't find the email or something like that, reach out to Fire Engineering for anybody, and they will put a little message out to that author, and you'll get a response. A very good instructor, friend, and mentor, basically, that really got me into the writing stuff, Andy Fredericks. I befriended him years ago before he was taken away, and you know, his one of his things, if you're not willing to respond to a question, you shouldn't be doing it. And I hold that 100% true to this day.
And that led to the show tonight, question being sent in from a listener. So I hope we did him, I hope we answered some questions for him or gave him some guidance. So, Tim, thank you so much for being your brother, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
If you need anything, reach out, be safe, and see you in August.
Yeah, go dig out, go dig out. You probably got to get out and snow blow again.
Oh, God, I hope not.
All right, brother, thank you so much. Hey, one thing I wanted to do tonight, too, and I've done this from time to time, and I haven't done it in a while, and that's give a little bit of a shout-out. And like we said during the show, you know, every day I'm perusing our fire service sites, right, learning about the big incidents from the night before, lessons learned, reading about the great deeds of our brothers and sisters, learning about, you know, so many professional things being done out there. And this story came across my, caught my eye, and I wanted to share it with you and give a little shout out to a teenage volunteer firefighter who's been doing a lot to benefit the local departments in his area. And so tonight I want to give a shout out to a firefighter, Michael Jolie. He's a 17-year-old volunteer firefighter at the Reigate Fire Department, which is in the Vermont area, the Groton, Vermont area. Michael says he has a passion for volunteer firefighting, and he went to emergency services and criminal justice classes at a school in his area, and he really has a passion for emergency services. So he wanted to try and help out the local departments in his area, and he came up with the idea of how to raise money for these departments. And he decided to use, he's a very skilled woodworker, so he decided to use his woodworking background and to make a difference. So what he did is put together some hand-built flags. He hand makes flags and burns wood and stains it red and stains them blue, and then sells them online for $130, and the profit goes to the area fire departments. He does it in his own little workshop in Reigate. He hand makes these flags. Again, they're made out of wood. He burns the wood for the stars and the stripes and the fields, and then stains them red and blue and sells them online, and gives the donations, or gives the money. He makes a donation. All the money goes to the local volunteer departments. And he just came up with that idea on his own. He loves emergency services. He's a volunteer firefighter, and he's out there selling flags and donating all the money made to the local fire departments in his area. So for that, I'd like to give a shout-out to Michael Jolie, a 17-year-old volunteer firefighter at the Reigate Fire Department in the great state of Vermont. Well, well done. So I'd like to also thank Fire Engineering and Chief Bobby Halton and Clarion Events for supporting these podcasts. And again, thank Tim Pillsworth for stepping in to help me out tonight. And my next show is scheduled for Tuesday, March 23rd, and I look forward to talking about some other great issues in our volunteer fire service. I'll probably have do the show on response times if Mike can be with us for that. So I'll be posting information about that. If anyone has questions they'd like to ask of me to discuss on the show, feel free to reach out to me. A lot of ways to do it. As Tim said, I have AOL email, so reach out to me at tamerrill63@aol.com. Be sure to give any of my social media platforms a like. The Professional Volunteer Fire Department is on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and I'm always trying to post articles and information concerning our fire service and maybe some motivational words of wisdoms. I also have a YouTube channel where I put all my podcasts, all 40-plus, are now up in a chronological order. I've also got some cool historical videos on there as well. So give a subscription. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Professional Volunteer Fire Department. So, folks, thank you tuning in tonight. Thanks also to Jared for writing in and asking that question on how he can be a better officer starting out in his officer journey. Jared, I hope we gave you some advice and some words of wisdom to get you started. Please send me another email. Let me know. And if there's anything else you need, we're here to help you out. So thanks for tuning in tonight. Please stay safe. Please remember that developing, maintaining, and portraying a professional image is the duty and responsibility of all firefighters, paid or volunteer. It's that simple, folks. No matter where you are, no matter where you serve, your residents are owed professional service delivered by professional firefighters representing professional organizations. Thank you very much for listening in tonight, and take care.